When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Diolis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to AI Scouted on Anfield Index Pro. I'm Dave Hendrick, joined as always by Mr. Carl Matchett. How are you, sir?
A mighty 8 out of 10. I'm ready to banish the demons of the past 2 weeks and reignite some forlorn title hope.
We are going to discuss Liverpool versus Everton, and we'll get to it, but I mean, who wants to spend too long talking about the Ev? So, Carl, let me start here. Today, we've had what is very clearly a coordinated leak by Liverpool of the name Arne Slot as a potential candidate to replace Jurgen Klopp. Thoughts?
Mixed, especially as I only read them on the way home about 20 minutes ago, probably. Fine in terms of playing style. We've spoken about him before, I think probably last year when he was heavily linked with Spurs, was it? I think at the time.
Leeds and then Spurs, yeah.
Leeds, then Spurs, right. So, I mean, I think because of the league, obviously, he is currently in, he would possibly be seen as underwhelming by, let's say, some or many who don't watch the football or the league. I think by now we should probably have been past that point and accept that different people transition very different ways from different leagues. And we've been speaking, obviously, in very high terms about someone from the Portuguese league, which, again, if it was a player, some people might suggest has not been playing at the highest level. Same could be applied to them from a manager. I think we need to be past that at this stage and obviously acknowledge that we're looking for traits to translate rather than quality they're up against. So don't think we can be too snobbish from that perspective. Personality-wise, is where I would have more questions.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Eredivisie is garbage. That's the first place to start. It's not a good league. But it is very impressive that he won the league with Feyenoord, given Ajax and PSV have significantly bigger budgets, significantly stronger squads, and significantly more productive academies. So that is impressive. But Giovanni van Bronckhorst also won the league with Feyenoord. So there is that to consider. What's more impressive to me is that I think he was going to win the league with AZ Alkmaar before COVID. They were level on points with Ajax at the top of the table and they were flying. Defensively, they were absolutely outrageously good. So that is something that does stand in his favour. He does play a very attractive brand of football. It's much closer to De Zerbi's football than Klopp's football in terms of how they build up. It's a lot more creative and inventive than what we often play,
which can sometimes resemble a clogged toilet. He doesn't rely solely on one player to produce the opportunities for others the way we often do with Trent. And his team are very quick in transition. Off the ball, there is similarities to Klopp. Like, they do press high. They're not as manic in their pressing as we are. I know some people have compared him to Marcelo Bielsa, but I don't see that when I watch them play. They are very well prepared in how they press. They know who and where they want to press. So from a footballing point of view, I can get on board with it in terms of I like how he plays, though I would have preferred others. The personality side of it is, you know, it's the hardest one to judge. Like, you see certain things and you read certain things, and it does all read very positive about the way he manages his squad and how he treats the players and things like that. But again, is that too close to Jürgen? Like, are we just replacing Jürgen with Jürgen Light in that regard then? Because that would concern me. I'd rather move away from that if possible. Because look, the bottom line of it is that the Jürgen Klopp approach has not delivered a title in the last three seasons. Now, it may deliver one this season, and fingers crossed it does, but it hasn't in the last three seasons. It hasn't delivered a European Cup in any of the last 5 years. We have had two very poor seasons out of the last four, and much of that falls at Jürgen's feet, regardless of how much people want to make excuses for him because of his failure to manage his squad properly, his failure to move players out the door, his failure to be more open to turnover in the squad. And that is something that concerns me. When I hear about, you know, treating players as humans rather than assets, that's all great, but don't get too close to them because you have to be able to say goodbye when the time comes. That would concern me. But again, his players do have a lot of positive things to say about him. The general view of him is quite positive. Spurs, by all accounts, were very, very impressed with how he interviewed and the plans that he laid out. So there's definitely a lot to like, but at the same time, the jump from the Eredivisie, Carl, it is absolutely enormous to the Premier League, and to Liverpool, it's even bigger.
It is. This a little bit feels to me as though, you know, if this was the case, then at least a portion of the consideration is that it doesn't matter who we get in, it will take us a year to get back up to speed of where we want to be. That's what this initially reads to me like. And the suggestion there might therefore be that, you know, the manager's going to take a little while to get up to steam anyway if he comes from outside, let's say La Liga, Premier League, and no, I would probably even say Serie A as well, just La Liga and the Premier League. If he comes from outside of those leagues, it's going to take him a period of adaptation to get used to the relentlessness of the demands of winning. Like, not just putting a team out, not just not losing, and not just having a good home record, but the absolute relentlessness that Premier League title challenges now requires. Anybody coming in from any other title fight has not experienced that. Look around the rest of Europe. There are very, very few title fights. And the ones that are there are not because all the teams are nearly perfect. It's, in fact, largely the opposite of that. So perhaps there's sense to that, in fairness. Perhaps whoever comes in is obviously on a hiding to nothing in terms of replacing Jürgen Klopp, the person, as much as the manager. Mm. And maybe it makes sense to think that, you know, we won't necessarily hit the ground absolutely running. It's not what we want. It's not what we want to hear. And I don't necessarily think it should be the first port of call, but take away the fandom from the situation, and maybe there's an element of sense in the risk management of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, fans really should have no input in anything of this nature because they're too irrational, they're too invested. You need to be a bit colder when it comes to these kind of decisions, so you're not as invested. It is actually a funny thing to look around Europe right now, and the Bundesliga is over, Serie A is over, the French league is as good as over. La Liga is as good as over. Like, they're just, there's so, like you say, there are so few title races. Even like Sporting are 7 points clear in Portugal with 4 games left. Like, it's close to over. I don't know. I just, like, I've seen a couple of things said today by a couple of Anfield Index contributors. So I'm just going to name them. So Justin Wells has said that whoever comes in needs patience. And while I do agree with that, and I agree that managers need to be given a chance, there shouldn't just be a negative reaction immediately. Absolutely no question about that. Justin is right. Virgil van Dijk turns 33 this summer. If Mo stays, he turns 32 this summer. Ali turns 32 this October coming. Like, we don't have years to waste. We already wasted last year because Jurgen wouldn't upgrade the midfield. And we wasted 2021 because Jurgen didn't solidify his defence enough. We can't really afford to waste any more years with these players, because these players come along once ever. Alisson is the best goalkeeper the club's ever had. Virgil is the best defender the club's ever had, and Mo is probably the best attacker the club ever had. Maybe Suarez, but he was only here for 3 years. But the point is, like, it's not easy to replace these guys, and you can't just let years of their prime just drift away while you take a chance on somebody. And look, again, I'm not in any way against the slot appointment, if that is who they go for. There are others I would definitely prefer, but if it hadn't been for the fact that a certain Portuguese manager is available, I probably would have been more keen on slot early on. But again, that jump is enormous, and we need him to hit the ground running. Whoever walks in has to hit the ground running. There can't be any kind of honeymoon period here.
Yeah, I do think it's important to draw a line and a distinction between accepting that there will be a change and, you know, having patience in that regard, and just letting somebody off the hook for not making a good start. Like, there's a very big difference between things not being completely perfect or, you know, tactically, ideologically the way they want from day one, and not achieving pretty good results straight off the board because we've got great players. There is quite a wide gap between those two things.
Yeah, exactly. And I've also seen Dan Kennett talk about how bringing in somebody, you know, like Arnie Slot, who plays a similar enough brand to Klopp, which, again, it's not all that similar. Amorim's football is probably more similar to Klopp, just the shape is different. But he also plays a different shape. He plays 4-2-3-1. I know in some games he does go 4-3-3 when, say, Calvin Stengs is not available. He doesn't really have another 10 in the squad, so he'll often just play 4-3-3. But his team look a bit clunky when they play 4-3-3. They're a lot more fluid in the 4-2-3-1. And Dan was saying, well, it's less need for surgery in the squad. And I can't agree with that at all. Like, if Jurgen was staying, you're still looking at this Liverpool team and saying, we need a new left back, we need a new holding midfielder, and we definitely need one in the front line, probably a left winger. Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak. There's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right, with NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the two-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin. With Amorim, even moving to a 3-4-3, you're still only looking at three. Left side centre-back, left wing-back, and a defensive midfielder. With Zidane, you'd be looking at three, maybe four. With Arne Slot, I do think you're looking at probably three or four. And I really don't think Mo Salah fits into how he plays. Like, if you watch how he uses his wing-backs and the amount of emphasis he puts on them off the ball, it's what Klopp has allowed Mo to skate on, and I don't think he'll allow it. Now, he might have to, but again, he's then compromising his style of play, which I don't think he's going to want to do. So, like, it's the same amount of surgery, regardless of who you're bringing in. This notion that, oh, if you change the way we play, the players aren't going to be suited. Alisson, Virgil, Eboo, Trent, Alexis, Dominic, Darwin, these players are more than capable of playing a different brand of football because they've all played different brands of football in their careers. And in all likelihood, the way we play isn't the best use of some of them. Like Alexis McAllister was better in the Brighton team than he is in our team, as good as he's been for us. He was better at Brighton. That style of football suited him better. Dominic was better at Leipzig than he has been for us. That style suited him more. That Nagelsmann game suited him more than playing for us has. So I don't agree that Arne Slot guarantees less turnover in the squad. Like, the squad needs to be turned over a bit every year for freshness, for competition, for the purpose of avoiding as many injuries as we've had under Jürgen.
Yeah, no, I think whoever comes in, we're going to see turnover, to be honest, just by the nature of managers coming in want to make their own stamp on something. And it's a little bit tricky. It's basically guesswork because most of the time, obviously, you have an underperforming team and that's why you get a new manager. It's very rare that a manager comes into a functioning team with a manager departing the scene who has done well, like overall done well, and isn't out because the club wants him out or the fans want him out, whatever. So we don't often get to see how much change coaches make to that situation. So a little bit of that is going to be obviously stylistic. A little bit may well be ego of manager and who he wants and who he thinks is the perfect fit. Quite a lot of that is going to be the fact that we have a completely new hierarchy above him as well. So I don't necessarily think that whoever comes in is going to make any difference of the number of players we sign. I genuinely don't, because it's that complete turnover of above the head coach, above the manager. I think that there's going to be a not necessarily restructuring, but certainly a massive conversation would have taken place at that point by where they say, we from this point are making the decisions. That coach is obviously going to have a yes or no about maybe numbers or maybe overall depth in certain positions of the pitch and so on. But Richard Hughes, Michael Edwards, these people are going to be making decisions now over how many, how much, what cost we need to apply to each kind of area of the team and so on. So I don't generally think that whoever we sign as head coach is going to impact that.
That's fair. That is fair. And I like decisions on players like Salah, like Robertson, who's 29 and has 1 year left in his contract. Those are not going to be made by the manager. Those are going to be made above the manager's head. Actually, I'm sorry, Robbo is now 30 and has 1 year left. I don't see us giving him a new contract because he's already declining. We're seeing a physical and a technical decline from him. I could easily see Mo being sold because of his age and the wages involved in keeping Mo. And regardless of whether fans think they're the right decisions or not, the people being paid to make those decisions will have to make them. It is funny to me that Richard Hughes is being talked about being involved in this managerial search at the moment. The Athletic, in a recent piece, mentioned that he was involved. He is currently being paid by and working for Bournemouth. And I just have a tough time imagining that Bournemouth, regardless of any loyalties to Hughes, who's been there a long time, I really don't imagine they're paying Richard Hughes to do work for Liverpool. I think that's a bit odd.
I mean, I hope you're not going to suggest that no conversations happen behind closed doors.
No, of course conversations happen, but I would be very, very surprised if he is in on every meeting that Michael Edwards is having with Will Spearman and on every conversation that's been had with an agent over a manager or every conversation that's being had with managers. Because, again, he's being paid by another club to do work for that club. And he is still doing his day-to-day duties there. He just isn't involved in the recruitment or any long-term planning.
Yeah, and we're not in a situation here like when people, let's say, have joined Newcastle, left Newcastle in recent years where they've been on gardening leave and effectively would be, let's be honest, open to focusing their work or their future work on specific things. He has a job there to do and he's probably expected to leave a list, let's say, for summer of potential candidates and so on and so forth. So now I would imagine, as much as anything else of professional integrity, that's still what he is doing.
Yeah, he's probably like else. Edwards is probably bouncing ideas off him. But again, I would say that it is most likely that it is Michael Edwards leading this search along with Will Spearman. Another name that came up and was thankfully quickly shut down was Gary O'Neill. I don't think any of us want any part of that. Paulo Fonseca, his agent was spoken to over the weekend, according to a couple of reports.
To play up front?
Is it Paulo Fonseca, the manager?
Yeah, it really is now. And I really wanted us to sign him about 15 years ago. I'm not sure about anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly keen. I think he's done a decent job at Lille. Like, you know, he's done fairly well there. He did not do all that well at Roma. He did well at Shakhtar, but, you know, it is what it is. And before that, a year at Braga, a year at Pacos Ferreira, a year at Porto, a year at Pacos Ferreira, a year at Aves, and then three straight years at different clubs. Like, he's a bit of a journeyman. And he hasn't really done anything that would make me think, oh, he's definitely the one, other than the spell at Shakhtar. But, I mean, that league is just very hard to really take anything from at the moment, over the last 10 years or so, since the downturn of Ukrainian football.
Just realised you're talking Paulo Fonseca, the Portuguese, as opposed to Daniel Fonseca, who immediately popped into my head when you said his name. So,
oh, if it was Daniel Fonseca, I would have him, just for the sheer nostalgic purpose.
Just for the madness and the nostalgia, yeah. To be honest, I don't even really remember him until he went to Roma, I'll be honest. I know he was at Porto beforehand and Braga, he was...
He won a cup at Braga, to be fair.
Yeah, I remember him being noted at Braga, but I don't remember watching or anything like that. I think it was only at Roma, really, where I first started to sort of look at his team and his game. But I think beyond when he was linked for a while with Spurs, was he, when Paratici went there?
Yeah. He's meant to be their top choice, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did have about 26 top choices, to be fair. So, I don't think that there's anything stand out that I can absolutely recall from there, to be honest. It may be that he has just completely bypassed my awareness just because it's a bit run-of-the-mill, medium, middle of the road, but maybe that's the point.
His football is pleasing on the eye, and it's quite, you know, it's quite attack-minded, but still, it'd be a no from me. It would be a no from me. Is there anyone else? Like, are we missing anybody? Not the club. I mean, us as fans. Is there anyone that we're overlooking that really should get more consideration? I mean, I think De Zerbi deserves consideration, but I assume he's already been strongly looked at because his name has been mentioned by half the journalists in the country. I think Zidane would be worth trying. And I think Antonio Conte is worth a look. Now, I know you're not a big fan, and he certainly didn't do particularly well at Spurs in that second year. But, like, he, to me, is less of a gamble than Arnie Slot. Even though Arnie Slot might tick more boxes, I think Conte's less of a gamble. Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye. But Zidane is the one I would like us to at least kick the tires on because, you know, it's just interesting.
It is interesting and it would generate interest, let's be honest. Guy in the chat here has mentioned Inzaghi, Simone Inzaghi, I'm presuming he means. We were linked with him maybe a month back or so, something like that, when it seemed like basically every manager we were being linked to was a back three manager. He was in that kind of collection there at the time. I think the thing is that we've been trying to look at very clearly top-end managers. And again, not to too much diminish what Slot's doing and the fact that it's in the Eredivisie and so on, but to be blunt, if you're lowering the bar to an Arne Slot kind of level where you're doing a good job, but not necessarily Zidane-ing things, by which I mean challenging for the biggest of major honours, then you open up like a much, much bigger window of possibilities. Like Thiago Motta, for example.
Yeah.
Like, we would never have spoken about him. There's no real reason to, but he's doing sensational work with Bologna in Italy, is in a Champions League position. So is a Champions League spot in Serie A worthy of similar consideration to winning one title in the Eredivisie? I would argue probably.
Yeah.
Obviously not as long a body of work, but Sebastian Hoeneß at Stuttgart again, doing
an incredible job this year.
Yeah, a hell of a job. So if you are going down to Slot kind of candidacy, then yes, we have missed loads because we haven't really discussed that. I don't want to be massively disrespectful here, but if we call it a second tier, like if you're talking about the very elite managers who already have jobs and then the next in line, potentially great or look like they're going to be great managers who are already at jobs, you know, the Alonso's and Amorim's and so on. We don't really look below that, to be perfectly honest, or I don't necessarily think that there was too much reason to suspect that we would look below that.
Like, no.
If you get down to the sort of the Mottas and the possibilities of who could be really, really good, beyond that, I think there are many, many, many managers, especially if you don't just stay in Europe. But I think...
Yeah, I mean, look, if we're looking at Arne Slot, why not look at Abel Ferreira, who's done an incredible job with Palmeiras, won two Copa Libertadores and two Brazilian Serie A's. Like, why not look at him? He's also had success in Europe. For me, he would be higher on the list than Arne Slot. And again, Slot would have been on my list if it wasn't for the fact that I thought we were looking at that Alonso Amorim type of tier. And I think Ferreira's in that tier. I think he's a tier above Arne Slot right now. If I said the name Thomas Tuchel to you, what would you say?
No. Oh,
God. See, I'd be the same.
I'm so tired of him.
I think his personality rules him out straight away because he falls out with everybody.
Yeah.
Hansi Flick's name has been mentioned by a few people. I just think when you look, I like Hansi, but when you look at the entire body of work, it is really only one season that kind of stands out to you, isn't it? Like, it's that one year.
One season, Bayern, one club, when everything went right.
Yeah, when literally everything went right as everything in the world went wrong.
And that could be Zidane, if we're being completely honest, except that he's done it multiple times.
He has
done it multiple
times.
Club,
but here's what I will say to you about Zidane, Carol. In the entire history of the European Cup, only one fella has won it three times in a row. In the history of the Champions League since the changeover, only one fella's won it back-to-back. And I don't care if people want to say, oh, he had a team of all-timers. He really didn't. Like, there's a lot of overrated players in that team. Sergio Ramos being one, Marcelo being another, Varane being a third. Now, Varane is better than people make out, but he's not as good as others make out. But, like, you look at that team, fairly average goalkeeper. Defence, it's not exactly world beaters. It's big names, but it's not world beaters in terms... It's not Virgil. It's not Trent. It's not Ibu. They're better than anyone they had defensively. The midfield is great. Absolutely no question. It's one of the best midfield trios ever. And Benzema and Cristiano are Benzema and Cristiano, but he also got the best out of Benzema in his second term when Cristiano was gone. And he rinsed every last bit that Cristiano had to give and got the very, very best out of him in those three Champions League runs. And you look at our team, and you think, okay, Alisson, Ibu, Virgil, that's boxed off. Could Mo be to us what Cristiano was to that team? Probably. Could Dominic play that other side? That Bale, Asensio, more ball carrier, long-range shooting, creative side? Probably. Alexis in that in-between-the-lines Modric role? Maybe Trent as the Tony Kroos type of midfield dictator, if that's what Trent wants to be as a midfielder, maybe Zidane is the fella to make that work. So all of a sudden you're looking at it and thinking, okay, we need two fullbacks and a defensive midfielder and maybe a nine, because Darwin might not work for him, but Gakpo might in that Benzema type of link role, which we saw Gakpo do well in when he first arrived at the club. So, like, I kind of look at his team and I think we could replicate a lot of that. And obviously he might want to change things. He might not do exactly what he did there. He wouldn't do exactly what he did there, but a lot of the pieces are there. You also look at the fact that he did help develop Vinicius. He was a big part in them going towards a younger recruitment approach. And when you look at, even after he left the club, Aurelien Tchouameni and Jude Bellingham go there and were asked, what were the big factors in you choosing here? And they both said Zidane. The guy wasn't even there. And he still had that pull. You put Zidane in a room with any young player and they're going to want to play for him. Because he's got that level of draw. He's got that name. He's a much bigger name in the sport than Jürgen is. And Jürgen's one of the great managers. But Zidane is one of the greatest players ever, which is more relatable to young players. And he's also proven himself to be a very special manager. I don't care what people want to say about him. No one else has won three European Cups in a row ever. It's a very short list of 1-3 full stop, and he won 3 in a row. Like, that to me is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no diminishing winning 3, whether they're in a row or not, to be honest. There's absolutely no way around that. I just think in terms of management, there are a lot of questions, to be honest. Obviously, it was a club and an environment that he was already massively upheld in, and I think that that's part of the reason why he hasn't taken a job elsewhere, because he wouldn't necessarily have that all the time. Mm. One that he's extremely comfortable in to begin with. But look, there's no reason to not consider it, not see what he says. See, similar to what we were saying back when we were talking about sporting directors, even last year, even the people who are in jobs, Paul Mitchell at the time and, you know, a whole bunch of others, there's no reason to not sound them out. We said this right back at the beginning about Michael Edwards coming back.
Yeah.
At the very least, you have to speak to him, sound them out, see what they say, see what they think, see what their idea is, what their plan is. See if it has anything at all which matches up with what you think.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.